Over the next 5 weeks, I'm going to be concluding a series which I've titled Being a Christian. Recently in the series, we've been looking at some of the different titles that the Bible uses to describe and explain what a Christian is. And we're going to conclude the series with five S's, beginning with number one this evening. We're going to consider that a Christian is a saint, a servant, a sheep, a soldier, and a stone. Five very different things. Five very different descriptions, different emphasis in each one, bringing out the many different facets of what it is to be a child of God and to be a Christian believer. So this evening, we're turning our thoughts to the fact that the Bible describes us as saints. Now, when I was a boy, Roger Moore was the saint. I don't know whether you remember the logo. Matchstick man with a halo above his head. Yeah, probably the less said about that, the better. That was the saint when I was growing up as a boy. In the 1980s, you're probably best to take that down, Luke, it'll be distracting. In the 1980s, Saturday afternoons were not complete until you'd watched The Saint and Greavesy. For the uninitiated, two ex-footballers turned pundits, Ian St. John and Jimmy Greaves. "She's a saint," can often be heard on the lips of an admirer, wondering how on earth that woman, who is wife, mother, cleaner, cook, counsellor and taxi driver, can possibly hold that household together. She's a saint. Now, of course, in the Roman Catholic Church, we're well familiar with the idea of saints that they talk about. It's quite interesting, really. The Roman Catholic Church decides whether or not you're a saint after you've died. Here's part of what their official wording is concerning saints. That this person has practiced in the heroic degree, chiefly the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. And the four cardinal virtues, prudence, courage, justice, and temperance, with all that these suppose and involve. If you're wondering what a cardinal virtue is, the word cardinal comes from the Latin cardo, which means hinge. So the cardinal virtues are so called because they are hinges upon which the door of the moral life swings. Cardinal virtues. And if you're going to be appointed and given the title of a saint, there are all kinds of procedures whereby their life is scrutinized for evidence of these things, along with evidence that they demonstrated certain miraculous powers. Now, this process can take years. Sometimes people are made a saint hundreds of years after they lived and died. There's a couple of stages. Once the first bit's proven, that person is said to be beatified. That means they're called blessed. But that's only stage one. Next, sometime later, they can be canonized, added to the list of saints. We talk about the canon of Scripture. Well, they have a canon of saints, a list of saints. They can be declared to be a saint. But to qualify for stage two, you must be able to prove that two miracles have been performed through them since they were beatified, which is some feat given that they're already dead. And these saints can be honoured. They can be prayed to. Churches can be built and named after them. Their images put on display. Altars erected for their worship. You see, the idea is that these saints did so much good. They did enough good so that they themselves could avoid purgatory. We won't go into that, but you've heard the word. And instead, they could go straight to heaven. And in fact, they did so much good that they've got some good left over that they didn't need. And they can use it for you, for your benefit. Fantastic. I can be a bit naughty and top myself up with what they've left over. No wonder that goes down well with some people. Now, if that's what it takes to be a saint, how and why does Paul, when he addresses living and often inexperienced and struggling Christians, how and why can he call them saints? Well, there are clearly various ways and times when the word saint is used. But what does the Bible mean when it uses the word saints? What is the Bible saying about us when it addresses us in the church as saints? Well, let's ask ourselves a couple of questions. And let's ask the first one. Who are saints? Well, we need to realise, first of all, that the Bible refers to all Christians as saints. So we started in Romans chapter 1. It's clear that the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Roman church, he's addressing all the Christians who are to be found in Rome. And he uses this collective title for them in verse 7 of the opening chapter. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And actually in verses 5 and 6, he gives us something of a definition as to what saints are. But that's going to be our second question, and we'll come back to those two verses shortly. You may like to have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now you should be familiar with this. We've been studying 1 Corinthians. Let's just remind ourselves of what we read in Paul's introduction to the Corinthian church. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, we'll return to that verse shortly as we consider what saints are. And we can go on through Paul's letters. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1. The church of God with all the saints. In the opening verses of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Paul tells us to whom he is writing. The saints. All the saints. In Ephesians, the word saints appears in every chapter. The opening verse, to the saints. Chapter 2, verse 19. Fellow citizens with the saints. Chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints. Chapter 4, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints. Chapter 5, verse 3. As is fitting for saints. And chapter 6, verse 18. Praying for all the saints. Interestingly, saints is a word which, with one exception, is used collectively as a plural, saints. And apart from one exception, is never found in the singular to speak about one person, saint. You will never find anyone addressed in the Bible as saint so-and-so. You won't find it, except perhaps in the man-written title of a book or one of Paul's letters where it may say the Gospel according to Saint Matthew. But that's not in the scriptures. That's something that the publishers of our Bibles have added. Saint is never used as a title for someone. It's used as a collective noun, if you like. The one time where it is used in the singular, saint, you'll find it in Philippians 4:21, Paul says, greet every saint. So although the word is in the singular, he's still referring to all of them collectively. Greet every saint. And he's not singling out an individual. And so the biblical use of saints, it goes right against this exclusive individualistic idea of sainthood that we see in other areas of the church. The saints are all believers. If you're a Christian, if you've trusted in Christ, you are one of the saints. So the Bible makes it clear who they are. The next important question is to ask, what are saints? What are you if you're a saint? The word saint comes from a Greek word which is the root word translated in various ways in our Bibles. The same word that is translated saint is also found translated sanctify, is also translated holy, and is also translated hallowed. So for example, in 1 Corinthians 1:2, you'll find there, sanctified in Christ Jesus. That word sanctified in the Greek is hagiadzo. It's exactly the same word which in Matthew 6:9 is translated hallowed, as in hallowed be your name at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Exactly the same Greek word in one place translated sanctified, in another place translated hallowed, and elsewhere translated saints. The Greek word saints is hagios. It's exactly the same root Greek word. And it has everything to do with holiness. It is all wrapped up in the theme of holiness. The saints are God's holy ones. You are God's holy one if you're a saint. Saint and holy are exactly the same thing. Well, what does holy mean? What does it mean to be holy? Well, perhaps it actually is something slightly different to the perception that we have. To be holy is to be connected to God. It is to be set apart to God and for Him. To be holy is to belong to God. We read in the scriptures that God Himself is holy. And we also read that anyone or anything that belongs to God is also described as holy. We read of the holy angels. They belong to God. Anything in the Bible other than God Himself that's described as holy is so described because it belongs to Him alone. It is holy. And that is you, Christian. What a thought that is. You are set apart for Him, and you belong to Him alone. Isn't that a great thought? That describes you. You're a saint. You're His holy one. Sometimes people will jokingly call Christians a holy Joe or something like that. Well, apart from getting my name wrong, they're absolutely right. The Bible says that actually is what I am. I am holy Ian. He is holy Eamon. She is holy Carol. You might not think so to look at them. You probably almost certainly won't think so to look at me. But the Bible says that's true. We're the saints. We are God's holy ones. And it's not because of anything I've done. It's not because of anything I deserve. We've seen in introductions that Paul uses to his letters, he includes all Christians when he uses this title. But those introductions also give us the definition of saints, as well as their identity. Who are these holy ones of God? Who are you? Well, let's consider two passages. And we'll turn, first of all, to that introduction to the book of Romans that we read earlier. Romans 1. And let's look at verses 5 and 6. And let's see what God's word teaches us about those who are saints. Because in verses 5 and 6, you'll see there that Paul gives a description of the people that he's going to call saints in verse 7. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Now we haven't all received apostleship, but apart from that, we've all had that same calling on our lives, and those things are true of every Christian. In verses 5 and 6. So he says in verse 5, the saints are those who have received God's grace for obedience to the faith. So saints are those who are obedient to the faith. That's the first definition of a saint. Someone who is obedient to the faith. Not someone who is obedient to faith. Not someone who is obedient to a faith. Someone who is obedient to the faith, the true gospel as it is revealed in the Bible, the truth of the Word of God. Those who are obedient to that. You can't be obedient and you can't have faith unless God gives it and you've received it. I wonder, did you know that? Those who've received God's grace for obedience to the faith. These are things that God gives according to his grace, out of his loving kindness. God gives us what we don't deserve in order that we might be what we never could be unless he gives it. Does that describe you? Our being saints originates in God and his goodness and his grace. Have you received this grace from God? In verse 6 of Romans 1, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. You didn't become a sheep by believing. You are a sheep. You heard his voice when he called you. And you believed. You see, you become a saint on the basis that Jesus has called you to himself. And he's made you his own. That which belongs to a holy God is itself holy. And Jesus has called you to himself. And you are a saint. So we're having these definitions of what a saint is. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians and have a look at the introduction there, where Paul uses the word saints in verse 2 of chapter 1. And he says, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Well, we considered sanctification last year. There are four stages in sanctification. The first is that your sanctification is fixed in eternity past in the eternal decree of God. You were known to him even before the foundations of this world were laid. He loved you. He set his love upon you and he chose you for himself. If God had not done that, you could never be sanctified. Your sanctification is made certain through a definite work of God in you at your conversion. The washing and cleansing of all your sins. It's something that definitely happened. Sanctification is an ongoing process in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that day by day you can walk more and more in obedience to Him. And finally, we have this future culmination of our salvation at the return of Christ. That too is referred to as our, part of our sanctification. And everyone who's been called to be saints, it's because you yourself have called upon the name of Jesus Christ. You don't ever have to call upon the name of a saint. And if you do, it won't do you any good whatsoever. We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no other. Well, that couldn't be clearer, could it? There is no other name, no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is only one name that you can call upon, and that's the name of Christ. Have you called upon Him? If you have, you're a saint. Do you want to be a saint? Just call upon the name of Christ. Call upon Him in your sin. Call upon Him in your desperate need of salvation. And you'll be saved. And you'll be a saint. Do you see that in the description that some churches give us of what a saint is, these saints are set up before us as if they are some kind of spiritual powerhouse. But all that we see in the scriptures about saints tells us that true saints are exactly the opposite of a spiritual powerhouse. They're weak, helpless sinners, desperately in need of God's help, desperately in need of God's intervention, completely reliant upon God calling out to them. And by His grace, through receiving the gift of faith, crying out to Him for grace and for mercy. Have you done that? Have you called out to the Lord for grace and mercy? Would you be a saint? That's all you need do. And that's what you must do. Call out to the Lord. So we've considered who saints are. We've considered what saints are. But finally, here's the thing that we all struggle with. We're not very saintly. Are we? Many Christians really struggle in one particular area of assurance in their faith. And it's this: I don't feel very holy. In fact, some of you might be thinking, I don't feel holy at all. And therefore you wonder, perhaps, and worry, perhaps, how any of this can be describing you. How can I be one of these saints when I feel so unholy? Far from feeling holy, you find that you struggle with all kinds of sins and temptations. And sometimes it's not just now and again. It seems to be almost constant at times. How can I be in that situation and at the same time be one of these holy ones? It doesn't seem to add up. The two don't seem to go together. I just don't act like someone who belongs to God alone, if I'm really honest. Maybe that's how it seems to you. Maybe, as others look at you, that's how it seems to them. Let's face it, when we look around the church, we don't have to look very hard to see all kinds of faults and difficulties in one another, do we? And yet the Bible calls us saints. The Bible calls us God's holy ones. But it does. It does. And I want to encourage you. The Bible does call you that. You are one of the saints. You are one of God's holy ones. Now, on Sunday mornings, as we look at 1 Corinthians, as we began in chapter 1, we saw, and we've seen again this evening, Paul addresses his letter to those who have been called to be saints. Now, he's not addressing his letter to those who've been called to become saints, but before you can be, you've got to do all kinds of things. He's called you to be one. Not to gradually become one, to be one. You are one. That's the language that's used. It's not up to you to make all kinds of progress, and then you can be called a saint. He's describing an immediate change of identity in everyone who's a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing I need to really encourage you about and hammer that home. It describes an immediate change of identity in everyone who names Christ as Saviour and Lord. And yet we see in 1 Corinthians, don't we, having addressed those believers as saints, how quickly he has to refer to all kinds of problems that exist amongst that church. And we've only started to scratch the surface in our studies on Sunday mornings. There are some unbelievably shameful things going on in the Corinthian church. We won't go into those now because we'll cover them in the months ahead, God willing. But none of that takes away from who they are. And none of that detracts from what they are. Paul still confidently refers to them as saints. He encourages them, despite the horrendous problems I'm about to unfold and make clear to you all, this is who you are. Why? Well, some of you probably from time to time have come across on your TV screens a variety of awards shows and ceremonies of all kinds of different flavours. Comedy awards, drama awards, bravery awards, music awards, the Queen's Honours List. In Hollywood, Hollywood is entering its award season. Next Sunday, it's the Golden Globes. In February, they come to this side of the Atlantic for the BAFTAs. And then in March, they cross back over to LA, and it's the Oscars. We're familiar with awards ceremonies and shows of that type. Do you see that they all have one thing in common? You first have to do something. Then the award follows. Because you've behaved like this, because you've done that, we will now confer this honour or title upon you. But it's because you've done something. In the kingdom of God, it is exactly the opposite. Out of nothing more than love and grace, and with us having done nothing to deserve it, God confers the title on us. He calls us to be saints. He makes this declaration about us. He says, that is what you now are. Now, go and live like it. It's the other way round to the way the world operates. Which is why in Corinthians we've been seeing the importance of not thinking like the world thinks. Just consider a few verses with me in the book of Ephesians, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Let me read three verses. The first three verses of Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. He doesn't say be imitators of God to become dear children. He says be imitators of God because you are children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints. This is what you are. Now, on the basis of that, this is how you must be. Why is this important? Six words. 1 Peter 1:16. Be holy, for I am holy. That's it. That's enough reason. If God gave us no other reason, that's sufficient. Be holy, because I am. You belong to me. You're mine. Be holy. We see in the scriptures, everything that belongs to God alone is described as holy. You be holy, because God is. Are you? Your position in Christ is fixed, certain, unbreakable, unchangeable, and now the trend in your life is towards holiness, isn't it? And that can only happen if you're in Christ. Oh, how we need Christ. I hope you realize you need Christ just as much tomorrow morning as you did when you first came to him for salvation. I hope you realize you need Christ as you lay your head on your pillow this evening just as much as you did when you first came to Christ for salvation. Oh, how you need him. How can we possibly attain to these things without him? Those things that we considered in terms of calling upon Christ and being sanctified in him. These are the daily need and experience of the saints. It marks them out, not only at our time of conversion, but it defines how you live every day as a saint, as a holy one. You need to remember who you are. You need to remember whose you are. And you need to remember how you got there every day. And when you go home, as you live with your family, as you wake tomorrow morning, as you drive your car, as you get on the bus, as you work, as you study under the watchful gaze of colleagues, as you perform your household chores, as you spend your time in leisure, as you watch TV, as you sit at your computer screen, remember this: you are a saint of God. Be holy. For he is holy. We'll conclude as we say.